And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. This is episode 101.
I don't know how we skipped over episode 100 last week, Luke. And I'm kind of sad that we didn't touch on it. You know, it's been a heck of a run for you and I, 100 episodes together now. There's, unfortunately for our listeners, there's no montage or us listening in. Luke, can you imagine us listening to our first ever episode and how bad we were in terms of everything we did?
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I think next time we break it down, I say we have Derek listen in on our first episode and he just gives his commentary. What do you think?
I think people would just be so disappointed that he wouldn't talk X's and O's. It would be so bad.
People are here for Derek Burns, and then they're here to hear your special takes or your special team's takes anyway.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm just here to fill airspace. You know that.
All right. Let's actually talk about the Gophers' upcoming tilt with Michigan. The Fighting Jim Harbaughs, as you might affectionately call them.
I unfortunately have that now, where every time I'm referencing a college football team, it's the Fighting whoever is your coach that I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And I know I've gotten a couple tweets that people like it, and then I have a couple of tweets that people are like, stop saying that. Just reference them as the Illinois Fighting Illini. Folks, I can't help it. It just kind of makes the things a little bit more interesting for me. So, yes, the Fighting Jim Harbaughs versus Row the Boat and Sky Uma, and thanks for coming and everything with titles PJ Fleck. So, we got some depth chart things to go through, some injury things to go through, and then I'm going to try to tell you a plausible story where Minnesota has 15.5-point dogs and another rain game for any of you heading out to Ann Arbor. We'll get into the weather forecast because
– Yeah, bring your poncho.
Some folks may know if I never did go into sports, my backup plan was to be a meteorologist, and I give a heck of a weather forecast when I want to. So we got a lot to get into here tonight.
All right, so let's get into the injury report. This is, we know that the secondary is decimated. It hasn't been a great year in injuries, but that's kind of the game of football in general. So, as much as the depth chart is basically worth nothing, what do we have in terms of injuries and anything positive coming off that?
That's a great question. And, seemingly every week now, I was having a conversation with, one of the local beat writers about PJ Fleck and his injury report. And I won't name his name because I'm sure he probably doesn't want it out there, but Coach Fleck referenced his injury report as something being very broad. He said he's very broad on injuries. And, if he's pretty broad, I don't know if he could hit the broad side of a barn in terms of actually giving legitimate injury info. It's tough to say, but you mentioned the secondary. You know, I'm hoping that Minnesota can get one of the two, Antonio Chenault or Keandre Thomas, back. Again, I'm not expecting Antoine Winfield to be back this season. I know that we've been talking about it a lot on Gopher Illustrated about staff is going to try and pursue a medical redshirt for him. And I know that the rule is, I believe, 3 games or 30%. I forget the rule. I think it's under 30% of the game in terms of total snaps. And he got hurt, and I believe that fourth game in the first quarter, so they think that they may be able to get a medical redshirt back, and if they are, they don't want to play him the rest of the season because this season's kind of a I think everybody here can see what the trajectory of this November is starting to look like, but hopefully Minnesota can get somebody back there. They were able to get Brandon Lingen back last week, and the interesting part about it, Luke, is Minnesota has, in their last two games after Brandon Lingen, I believe against Purdue, led the team in targets. I don't think he's been targeted since.
Yeah.
Nate Wozniak continues to draw targets in the passing game, but Brandon Lingen doesn't. That's extremely perplexing to me because one is a blocking tight end and another is a pass catcher tight end when I think of the two. Both are very good blockers, but obviously I think Lingen is more talented there, so we're going to have to see how that shakes out. But the big question mark going into this game is Keandre Thomas back? Is Antonio Chenault back? How does Minnesota continue to deal with an injury bug that has really decimated a secondary? We talked about it all offseason where Minnesota was extremely thin in the secondary, and they've been plagued with injuries, unfortunately. So Justice Harris was the one that was determined that he was going to burn his red shirt. You saw the effects of that against Iowa. And in hindsight, it makes a lot of sense in terms of the timing of that burned red shirt. Because say all these injuries were to have happened in September, mm-hmm. well, then I think you would have seen Ray Estes. I think you might have seen a couple other guys potentially sooner. But with the late amount of injuries, you really want to preserve Ray Estes and Adam Beck's redshirt, because I think they are better players right now. They have higher ceilings. And, you know, maybe technically down the line, you may be able to out-recruit them. But you want to be able to make sure that they have 4 years of eligibility remaining as Minnesota tries to go forward in 18, 19, 20, 21. So they have played a couple of true freshmen in the secondary, Kendarian, Handy Holly, Justice Harris. But the big question going into Saturday is, what guys in the secondary does Minnesota have back?
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. I mean, that's obviously coming into the season, we knew that they were going to be kind of shorthanded given the expulsions and that history. The other position I'd be interested to hear about, you know, somehow they've seemingly weathered the storm. I'm going to knock on wood. And they've been able to not burn red shirts there, you know, what's the situation there? Are they, and obviously we know the Nick Conley news. He's likely, you know, well, he's not likely. He's done with football.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's just too bad. But you know, what are they going to be able to do to try and basically escape this season without having to burn a red shirt of like a Blaze Andrews?
Well, you're hoping that Sam Schluter is able to stay healthy, and you're hoping that Donnell Green is able to stay healthy, because Blaze is the swing tackle behind them. We talk about that Nick Conley injury. Unfortunately, now he's done with football, and you can look at the handful of injuries in the offensive line that, you know, have forced guys to retire over the years. Jimmy Jerry, Nick Conley, Ted Stieber, Connor Mays, and you're looking at Tyler Moore as well. Rasmussen transfers out. Again, I don't have to remind our listeners, because I think I talk about it probably far too often for them, that Minnesota hasn't had an offensive lineman drafted in 11 years. So the offensive line has been an issue, and that's why P.J. Fleck, Ed Warner, and Brian Callahan are now here. And so we're going to have to hope that Sam Schluter stays healthy, Donnell Green stays healthy, because they're running out of bodies on the offensive line as well right now. And that's why you see Minnesota likely going to be able to go after a junior college offensive lineman. I know that P.J. Doesn't really like to hit the junior college ranks too much, but when you look at quarterback coming up here, especially when you look forward to 2018 with who may or may not be on the roster, you look at offensive line with how young Minnesota is, and there's a lot of talk of Blaze Andrews actually moving into guard this spring, as maybe that's a position that better fits him. And Minnesota's going to be losing Garrison Wright, Vincent Calhoun. They're going to need some guys to be replaced at guard. So it is going to be interesting to follow, because if Sam Schluter goes down or loses his helmet, say that happens against Michigan in this rain, you know, he gets hands to the face from Maurice Hurt or Rashawn Gary, who comes in at tackle? So we're going to have to see what the contingency plan is. But if it's short term, like a helmet coming off, I probably don't think Blaze Andrews goes in at tackle. But if it's, a lingering injury for the remainder of the season, I wonder if they do put in Andrews. But hopefully we don't have to discuss that, because Sam Schluter and Donald Green are able to stay healthy.
All right, so let's maybe I imagine there's not really any recruiting talk to cover.
Well, I know that folks really want to hear about quarterback recruiting.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I mean, when looking at our threads on Gopher Illustrated, I mean, basically every thread about quarterback recruiting this week has over 10,000 hits. You know, that's a lot of views in terms of people wanting the latest and greatest info. And I think Gobi and I have done a fantastic job. And again, Gobi's been a fantastic addition to Gopher Illustrated. So if you've been on the fence, I can assure you, between Gobi and I, no one knows Gopher football and Gopher football recruiting more than both of us. And then Ryan James on the basketball side of things, on the exhibition win tonight. So if you want to head on over there and check everything out, it does look like they potentially may be going down the junior college ranks with a offer out. I don't necessarily think that's committable right now. And why do I think that? You're going to have to head on over to Gopher Illustrated to find out. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But in terms of recruiting talk outside of quarterback, if you want to know more, GI is the place to go. But so I'm not going to give too many spoilers there.
All right, so let's talk about this this Michigan team. What we know about them is, you know, they're what, 6-2 on the season. They are 6-2. Sorry, I had to double check that.
Yeah, but they've had quite the tumultuous October.
Yeah,
if you look back at it, they lose at home to Michigan State, a rivalry game, and then they go on the road to Indiana the next week. They just sneak past in overtime. Then they get bludgeoned by the Fighting Saquon Barkleys, who I think is the Heisman frontrunner, and that is going to be my hot take. And then last week they get to get right spot at home against Jerry Kill and that Rutgers team with a 35-14 victory. So this actually hasn't been all sunshines and roses for this Wolverine team of late.
Well, it's been kind of an up and down season, really, when you think about it. Like, they had a big win against Florida early on in the season, but, you know, flash forward to now, and Florida is now without their head coach.
Florida, a team that was in the SEC championship game right. the last 2 years, fires their head coach.
Right.
I know that there's a lot more behind the scenes. But again, that's still mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling because, you know, at the time, you know, Florida is one of the favorites in the SEC, and, you know, they get a really big win against them, and, you know, their trajectory is really high, at least Michigan. When I say trajectory, I'm talking kind of expectations, right? This is, what, Harbaugh's third year? I know you had said early in the season, you know, this is a team we'd rather play early in the season instead of late, and now you're looking at the Gophers, they're 15.5 point underdogs, but you know, Michigan as a whole, when you look at them, they, you know, offensively they haven't really been able to find an identity after their quarterback went down, and now what they're trying to do is, you know, they're trying to find a quarterback. They've seemingly identified a guy, but they've basically ridden a really strong defense basically this entire season.
They have, and their MO for their season is kind of on the same wavelength as Minnesota's now. Michigan has much better athletes and much better skill position players, bigger bodies on the lines. But just general broad strokes of it, you know, Michigan is on their third quarterback. They've had a very struggling offense. You look at why they lost to the Michigan State Spartans, 5 turnovers. They were -5 in the take give. And they just haven't been able to do anything offensively besides run the ball from time to time. Well, Minnesota hasn't really been able to pass the ball or run the ball tremendously, and they've been bailed out by their defense, as has been the Michigan Wolverines. So Michigan's defense, and we'll get into it, Luke, is our top 10 units in terms of overall run defense and overall pass defense. But there are a couple of places I think if Minnesota's going to have a shot in this game, they can exploit. But it is the defense carrying the offense for Michigan, just the same way that it has been for your Golden Gopher football team.
Yeah, so let's break this down a little bit. I know that you have a comprehensive preview on Gopher Illustrated, but let's do the best we can here tonight. Just let's talk about when the Gophers are on offense, because that's what a lot of people want to talk about. That's what they're focusing on, because at this point in this season, they haven't really been able to deliver, whether it be quarterback play, whether it be, you know, wide receiver, their inability to have explosive run plays. You know, what are the Gophers up against this Michigan defense?
I'm nervous, man, because this is a legit Michigan defense. I know that they haven't exactly been performing well in that recency bias for the most part. That Penn State game where Penn State's able to put up 42, yeah, but take out that game, and they've only had one other game this season where they've allowed over 20 points on defense. So this is a very legit Michigan defense. They're a top 15 overall unit when you look at them individually. They are an overall 11th ranked unit against the run, and they're the number 5 team against the pass. So you look at a Minnesota offense that's been sputtering, I think is the right way to put it. There are a few different areas I think Minnesota is going to be able to, you know, potentially leg out a win here in Ann Arbor like they were able to do last time. And if they're going to be able to do so, they're going to have to find some big plays, because that is the one area of Michigan's defense that is exploitable. Now, Minnesota's run offense is the third worst in the country out of 129 teams, and rushing explosive in terms of explosive plays from the run game. Well, Michigan's defense is a bottom 20 unit against explosive run plays. So Michigan's defense is very susceptible to the big play on the ground. Well, Minnesota hasn't exactly been able to exploit that. So if Minnesota's going to win this game, they're going to have to be able to do that. Another matchup I'm going to be watching is Minnesota's offensive line against Michigan's front 7 in terms of on passing downs. Minnesota's offensive line is the number 11 unit in the country in terms of adjusted sack rate, and Michigan's defense as the number 22 overall sack rate. So you're looking at two top 25 units in terms of protecting their quarterback and then getting after the opponent's quarterback. That's going to be another huge battle to watch. And then finally, Minnesota's passing offense is actually the number 34 explosive passing offense in the country, and Michigan has a bottom 40 unit in terms of defending explosive plays. So the point I'm trying to make here, Luke, is if Minnesota's offense is going to have any kind of resemblance of success in putting points on the board, they're going to have to do it through big plays, because overall, I've tried to harp on this point, Michigan's defense is extremely good. The one area where they have not been as good is in those explosive plays. So Minnesota's going to have to try and find that on the ground. They're going to have to try and find it through the air. And they're also going to have to convert off of these turnovers, because they've been absolutely terrible in terms of turning turnovers into points. If I was the defense, I'd be pretty mad at the offense, because they have forced 12 turnovers in the last four games. And Minnesota's only been able to put 34 points on the board because of that. And that's just terrible. And so if you're going to win in Ann Arbor as 15.5-point dogs, you're going to have find some resemblance of an offense, and we're going to have to see what Demery Kropp looks like in game three.
Yeah, you know, we've talked this season multiple times, whether it be previews or breakdowns, about how this team has just a razor-thin margin if they're going to become bowl eligible, and it seems to be getting thinner and thinner, and especially against a team like Michigan with a strong defense, you know, to your point where they've not, where the Gophers have been unable to capitalize on takeovers or turnovers, I should say. This is an opportunity if they're going to be able to seize this one and bring the little brown jug back to Minneapolis. They really have to execute at an absolutely unbelievable level, unlike we've probably seen all year.
They're going to have to be extremely efficient in terms of finishing drives with points. They're not going to, the offense cannot give them the Michigan defense the ball at all either. The issue with that is Minnesota is a bottom 20 unit in terms of finishing drives with points. It shouldn't be really a surprise to anybody, especially when you look at the last game. Minnesota gets the ball within the Iowa 10-yard line twice, and there's 0 points on the board, and you lose by 7, and you wonder, well, what could have been? So Minnesota's offense has been really good at getting the ball in good field position. The issue is they haven't been able to turn that into points. And Demery Kropp's going to have to be able to take care of the ball as well. They can't have a multi-interception game, especially against, and we'll get into that a little bit later, a Michigan offense that's been very susceptible to turnovers. And this, as a unit in the last four games, Michigan has been awful in the take-give, and they've been very fortunate to win some games. Now, Minnesota in their last three losses has actually been winning the take-give, but they've been losing games. So it's been kind of an anomaly on both sides, where Michigan is winning games, but they're losing the take-give, or Minnesota is winning the take-give and losing games. So something has to give. And the take give. You see what I did there?
Yeah, it gets a little complicated. It gets a little complicated in there, but I think I'm picking up what you're putting down.
So we're going to need to see big games for the Minnesota's offensive line. And, you know, trademark Paul Allen, as always, the Minnesota Moving Company up front, the Big Five, and the Nate Wozniak and Brandon Lingen are going to have exceptional days in terms of run blocking. And then those tackles are going to have their hands full, especially interior guys as well, trying to keep Demery Kropp clean. And if they're going to be able to do that, Minnesota's offense is going to give their defense a shot.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about when Michigan's on offense. You know, we're basically anticipating that Brandon Peters is going to start at quarterback. He saw some action last week where he was 11 for 15, 128 yards, one touchdown, you know, kind of late in the ball game. So I guess when it sounds familiar, right? It sounds a little bit like a Demery Kropp, and it'll be curious to see if his trajectory follows similarly to Kropp, where, you know, it's somewhat fallen off a little bit with early good performance, or if you know, he'll actually go the other way and continue his successful trajectory.
Brandon Peters, that is?
Yeah, Brandon Peters, correct.
Yeah, and I don't even know how much the quarterback position for Michigan is really going to play a part in this game, because if Michigan's going to be able to run the ball, which they've had a lot of success in doing of late, it's going to be interesting to see if Minnesota can stop the run. Now, I know they were able to do it last week against Iowa, but I've already, you know, have it in my rearview mirror when looking at that Michigan State game, the way Michigan State was able to run the ball down the Gophers' throats. And when I look at this Michigan offensive line, they are a top 20 overall unit in adjusted line yards, which is a very great metric to look at from Football Study Hall there. It basically tells you how much the offensive line is grading up front in terms of, you know, road grading, like we're grading the road.
Right, not their academic grade. Right, I get that.
Yes, I'm very punny on this time of the night. So.
Yeah.
So this is a very good overall rushing unit, and Minnesota's going to have to be able to stop the ball stop the run if they're going to be able to have any resemblance of success. Because you mentioned it, they're on quarterback number 3. The Michigan quarterbacks have been very susceptible in terms of giving the ball up through the air and giving themselves and shooting themselves in the foot. So Minnesota's first priority is going to have to be winning the battle up front. Steven Richardson, Nate Umlor, looking at guys like that. And then Thomas Barber and Jonathan Celestine are going to have to be able to get off the blocks. And then you're going to need a big game from Jacob Huff, Justice Harris, Duke McGee in terms of the run fit, because they were able to do it last week against Iowa. They're going to need another repeat performance this weekend.
All right. Defensively, you look at Michigan when they're on offense, the first two guys, it's kind of a really small sample size with Brandon Peters, but the first two guys actually took a lot of sacks, 8 and 15 respectively for O'Connor and Spate. It'd be interesting to see if the Gophers can get in, a guy like Winston Dilaudy-Boudaire and or names totally escaping me now, but the other defensive end that starts.
Nate Umlor?
No, the other one.
The true freshman?
No.
That's been starting the last two games?
No, the guy from Eden Prairie. I'm totally blanking.
Carter Coughlin.
Yeah, he's been amazing, in terms of getting tackles for loss and... Yep. He's been really effective, especially in Big Ten play, to see if he can have a big game against a team like Michigan.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. That was one of my keys to the game, is Minnesota's going to have to force turnovers, and one of the ways that they're going to be able to do that is in the sack game. Now, Minnesota hasn't been great in terms of their sack rate this year. Defense ranks 93rd in adjusted sack rate, but Michigan's offense has been awful in terms of adjusted sack rate. They're the number 121 of 129 FBS teams, so they're a bottom 10 unit in the country in protecting their quarterback. So that means Rob Smith's going to be able to get creative, but the question is going to be, how many times is Minnesota going to be able to put the Wolverines in a passing down situation? Because if they're not able to stop the run, it's going to be a long day for folks in Ann Arbor. It's also going to be a soggy day. So
yeah.
If Minnesota's able to stop the run, in theory, again, you look at that adjusted sack rate, Michigan's been very susceptible to giving up the sack. Now, if Carter Coughlin, if Steve Richardson, if Blake Cashman, Kamal Martin, whoever it is getting home, is able to find the quarterback, get home, and then strip the ball, now we're talking. Now, so if that's going to be able to happen, stop the run. Once you get into these passing downs, be creative, Rob Smith, just like you were last week.
All right, let's get into kind of predictions and your keys to the game. So the Gophers come into this game 4-4 on the season, 1-4 in conference play. Michigan comes in 6-2, 3-2 in conference play. This is a 6:30 kickoff, and the game will be televised on Fox. The Gophers currently are a 15.5 point underdog, from what I can see, with an over-under of 40.5. The weather forecast for that 6:30 kickoff is pretty much you
rain.
Should expect some rain. I mean, it's greater than 50% basically the entire game. Interesting to see there. Wind for that game is somewhere in the like 7 to 8 mile an hour range, so not a huge factor, but definitely no. Given the rain, any amount of wind is going to play a little bit of a factor. So
from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. according to weather.com right now, when I've pulled up the hour-by-hour
yep.
forecast for Ann Arbor, it's greater than 65% chance of precipitation, and right at kickoff is the greatest percent chance of precipitation. So for you folks that are going to be going to the big house and you're going to be leaving, this morning or this afternoon in terms of on Friday, pack your rain gear and make sure that you have a good pair of it. So make sure that that's on the to-do list before you take off.
Yeah, and looking at this, I haven't been keeping great track, but it seems like the Gophers have basically played in rain the last 4 weeks.
It's 4 out of the last 5, at least. I mean, we had the delays against
Purdue and Illinois. Was Illinois a
yes,
delay
Illinois
too?
Yes, Illinois was delayed,
and Purdue also had the like in the middle of the fourth quarter delay.
Yeah, so I mean, Minnesota can't catch a break on Saturday afternoon, so. When we look at the keys of the game here, the number one key to start off things is the offense needs to find some big plays. I touched on it already. You need to know that, first of all, Minnesota's offense hasn't been good, and I know you're shocked to hear that, but according to Football Study Hall, Minnesota's offense is rated as the 116th best overall out of 129 FBS teams. They are the third worst explosive offense in the country in terms of explosive plays. They have the third worst running offense in terms of explosive plays. They have the number 121 overall passing unit. and they're a bottom 20 team in terms of finishing drives of points. So, you know, if you were to listen to that, you're probably thinking, well, Ryan, why are you so doom and gloom? You know, Minnesota is 500. You know, we're going to have to look at some things here going forward. I've already mentioned these 3 points as well. If Minnesota is going to have any resemblance of success, they're going to have to do 3 things. Michigan's defense has been very susceptible to explosive plays in the run and in the pass. I know Minnesota struggled with the running aspect, but they've been able to find some big plays through the passing game. And then and then the other one is Minnesota's offensive line is going to have to be able to protect Demaryius Croft. I know that the statistics don't look great for Demaryius in the passing game. I think it's 32% passing in his first 2 career starts. But Minnesota's going to have to give themselves a chance there. So if they're able to find some big plays, especially on the ground, this game can get very interesting because both teams want to dominate time of possession, and both teams, you know, we're going to have to be able to see how they do that in the rain. Number two, the defense is going to have to be able to force takeaways. I mean, if you're going to win a night game at the Big House, you have to win the take give. Now, Minnesota's defense has been absolutely elite at forcing turnovers in their last 4 games. I already mentioned it, 12 turnovers by Rob Smith's defense in the last 4 games, 3 a game on average. That's fantastic. You know, they've been able to create havoc around the quarterback with strip sacks, been able to get fumbles, interceptions. They've been doing a lot of different things to be able to force those turnovers. The issue is the offense hasn't done anything to help them. On those 12 turnovers in the last 4 games, Minnesota has only managed 34 points. That's less than a field goal on each. I believe the expectation, and I forget, you know, if you're a football guy and you know this off the top of your head, shoot me a tweet or shoot me a message on Gopher Illustrated. But I think the expectation is if you get a turnover, it's worth like 4.5 or 5 points just based off field position on where you normally get these turnovers. So for Minnesota to be averaging less than 3, that's not great. And I kind of alluded to this one as well. You look at Minnesota in their last 4 games in the take give, they're +4, yet they're 1-3, where Michigan in their last 4 games is -4 in the take give, and they're 2-2. That's a really big anomaly to me in terms of, you know, Michigan being able to win games despite turning the ball over more than they're giving it. And then Minnesota on the flip side, their defense has been taking the ball away a ton, yet they haven't been able to finish ball games. So Michigan also has 6 fumbles in their last 4 games, and Minnesota has forced 8 fumbles in that same span. So you can see the recipe for success if Minnesota's going to be able to pull that together. And then finally, Minnesota's got to win up front. You know, both of Michigan's passing and running units in terms of on defense are ranked in the top 10 in the country. So Minnesota's running game, which is ranked as the number 57, but the passing offense has been very abysmal at number 121. So I know it's a tough task on paper to head into the Big House against this Michigan defense that's been very good in terms of all season limiting points against opposing offenses. But the Minnesota Moving Company is going to have their best day of the year if Minnesota is going to have a shot.
All right. So I guess predictions, I can go first because I seemingly make you go first almost every week. So I think, you know, I just don't see the Gophers winning this game. I think if you're really going to get people to row the boat, this is the kind of game that you need to win, this or the Wisconsin game, but I just don't see it happening. You know, given the conditions of this game in terms of the weather, and just, you know, generally kind of the sputtering of the offense of late, I just don't think that the defense can maintain, enough of a hold to be able to give the offense a chance to just put up minuscule numbers to still pull out a victory. So I'll take the Gophers to lose. I'll go 24-9.
24-9. Okay. Well, I look at some of the games that Michigan's played in this year, and again, I mentioned how good their defense has been. They limited Purdue to 10 points, limited Michigan to 14 points. And you know, those are 2 of the common opponents for Minnesota. I don't know how the offense, you know, finds anywhere near enough points to kind of combat what I think Michigan is going to be able to do on offense to Minnesota in the second half, where I think they're just going to be able to grind down Minnesota because the offense is going to continue to go 3 and out. I think in the first half, the Gopher defense is going to be bending and not breaking. You know, they have 6-7 play drives, but they force punts or they force field goals. But after the offense just can't find anything, I think this, you know, kind of gets, I shouldn't say ugly in the second half, because I think this game, you know, I think Minnesota, if I were a betting man in terms of the Vegas line, I'd take Minnesota in the points here. So I just don't know how, you know, Minnesota puts up more than 10 or 13 points. So I have this at Michigan 24, Minnesota 13. Again, I don't know how Minnesota gets over that 14-point mark without some enormous, you know, explosive plays. They're going to need that out of the run game that has been extremely struggling with that all year. But Michigan 24, Minnesota 13, and we'll have something to get into after deer opening weekend. So I know that some of you are also, you know, going to be out in the tree stands this weekend, the Sea of Orange. I know tomorrow's, I think Fleet Farm calls it Orange Friday. Just make sure, again, you know, I'm as big of a deer hunter as anybody that you probably know, and I'll actually be in a tree in about 6 hours from now, or getting up to go get in a tree. My last day bow hunting before the Sea of Orange gets out, so hopefully we can get it done. But make sure you're safe. Again, I know there's a lot of time spent in deer camp, you know, good times telling stories. But when you do get to the tree stand, make sure you have your harness. Make sure you know where you're going. Make sure you know where your gun is at all times. And I don't want to hear any horror stories from over the weekend. So just make sure that you guys are safe when you get out there, and then aim small and miss small.
All right, so we want to thank everybody for listening. Again, check out Ryan's work on GopherIllustrated.com. It's about as good a coverage as you're going to get when it comes to Gopher football and Gopher football recruiting, as well as Gopher basketball and Gopher basketball recruiting. So again, thanks for listening, and go Gophers.